Living Fuel. Grade your meal today. Imagine if you had a single meal which contained more protein than a half dozen organic egg whites, more fiber than two bowls of steel-cut organic oatmeal, more vitamin D than 10 fillets of Arctic fish, more vitamin B12 than 50 servings of raw organic cheese, more vitamin E than 1 pound of raw organic almonds, more calcium than 2 glasses of whole organic milk, more potassium than 2 organic bananas, more phytonutrients than 10 fresh organic green salads, more antioxidants than 10 bowls of fresh, vine ripe organic berries, more omega-3 than 2 cups of organic edamame, more resveratrol than 4 glasses of wine, more probiotics than 6 cups of yogurt, more enzymes than 3 whole organic papayas, more vitamin C than 7 oranges. That would cost $268.13 per meal and equal to 14,124 calories. Imagine all that nutrition in a single super meal you can afford. Now, you don't have to imagine anymore. Living Fuel, the super meal you can drink. Upgrade your meal today.
Show.
A lot of people have said there are people now dying of the swine flu who are in good health. By whose standards? Hospitals serve Jell-O.
Robert Scott Bell.
Food advertising. You know the people. Fresh, natural, hearty, old-fashioned, homemade goodness in a can.
Robert Scott Bell.
Dr. Agus argues that the fountain of youth is attainable if everyone were to take statin drugs.
Excuse me?
It sounds completely, completely insane.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Cranking up the broadcast week on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And I tell you, we've had quite a week last week of broadcasting. More and more of the coverage of this obviously ongoing and developing story of global economic shutdown based on unseen viruses, maybe new novel ones. And, you know, on this show, and I'm not afraid to tread into areas of controversy. In fact, just by turning on the mic, by definition, controversy happens, you know, because we don't typically follow the party line. Yet there is validation. There are ways to verify things, claims that are made. There are times where I will go, you know what? This doesn't fit the perspective or paradigm or my clinical experience in working with ailments, illnesses, diseases, infections, etc. And last week on Friday, had an interesting discussion, hour and a half long, long form interview with Dr. James Lyons Weiler, PhD. And he argued for the validation of the identification and sequencing of a novel new form of a coronavirus, COVID-19. And we talked PCR. We talked infectious realities. We talked law of the terrain versus germ theory even. And it was a great discussion. But here we go. We've got to tackle some of the questions that weren't answered. And to help me do that, my good friend, investigative journalist for so long now, John Rappaport, back from No More Fake News. His site's been up and down. I don't know if they're attacking you, John, but certainly, I want to clarify some things or have you clarify things about what I'm hearing people say about you. No one's ever talked about you, have they, John?
Well, actually, I don't get much of that at all. So if there is, I'm happy to provide answers.
Well, you know, the thing is, you investigate, you make conclusions based on your investigations, and they're radically different from the vast majority of people and so-called officials out there. And that's true for me in much of my career in broadcasting, much less prior to that as a homeopath and looking at disease and health in a different way than the vast majority of those from the Western world that have adopted an allopathic viewpoint, a germ theory viewpoint. So there are things that seem to be in conflict, and maybe we can find a way to to bridge those gaps. But as I talked about, even if you've identified, let's say, and validated a novel new coronavirus, and you look at what happened in Italy and what came out, I know that you've written about it. I've reported on it a little bit as well recently, where 99% of the people that supposedly died of this new coronavirus were already previously chronically ill, immunosuppressed, on major medication. And I think, does that definitively mean that there's no virus at play at all? Or does it mean, hey, we need to look beyond just one single cause of death that could not have anything to do with the virus?
Well, it certainly casts doubt, serious doubt, because let's look at what the press is reporting and what the governments are saying. Italy is being held up in the Western world as the prime example of what can happen if the virus spreads and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's so much deception going on over there that it provides a fertile area, shall we say, for investigation. Mm-hmm. So this study, what's happening over there, basically two things, and they both have to do with the Italian government. Number one is you've got agencies that are blaring out announcements of many, many cases and people are dying and the ICU wards are overburdened and overflowing with people. And you got the press in there with videos of the ICU wards. And, you know, it's all very convincing on the surface. But then you've got another part of the Italian government, a major institute of health over there. And this is being reported in the Italian press and now in Bloomberg News, that they are doing much different work. They're slowly going through the patient records of people who supposedly died from the coronavirus. Okay? And what they're finding out is, first of all, as you say, more than 99% of these fatalities were people who, and I'm quoting, suffered from previous medical conditions, according to a study by the country's National Health Authority. Okay. So just three victims, people who died, had no previous pathology, meaning diseases. And the capper on this study by another part of the Italian government is that the average age of those who died from the virus in Italy is 79.5 years old. Are you kidding me? Obviously, this would be heavily weighted in favor of elderly people that have long-standing health problems, chronic health problems, weakened immune systems, being treated over the years with a whole variety of medical drugs that have toxic effects, and strong possibility that at the end they were treated with antiviral drugs mm-hmm. to defeat the virus, and those drugs can be extremely toxic and could have been responsible ultimately at the end mm-hmm. for their deaths. This is from the Italian government. That last part is from me. So that's not receiving nearly the amount of press
yes.
that these other government agencies over there in Italy are getting for blaring out, here's the number of case numbers going up again, and we're having people dying, and we're locked down mm-hmm. 60 million people, right? Mm-hmm. And the other point that I want to stress is, the press, world press, and the Italian government, one part of it, is making a tremendous big deal out of overflowing ICU wards, intensive care wards in the country. We can't handle the burden, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is also very convincing. And you get the press in there taking videos of all these people waiting to be treated, and it's kind of chaotic and so forth. And that gives a very strong visual impression of things out of control. Mm-hmm. But think about this. According to estimates that I can find, maybe they're talking about an extra burden of, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 people coming into ICUs or being put into ICUs. Now, use your common sense. In a country with all that fear and panic and promotion of the virus, you're going to get all kinds of people coming into the hospitals over there. People with lung problems that have nothing to do with anything except perhaps heavily polluted air in the north of Italy. People with chronic lung problems like TB, pneumonia, diagnosed, undiagnosed. Older people in wheelchairs being wheeled in that have problems breathing. They've had problems breathing for a long time. It's getting worse. They think they might have the virus. All kinds of people are coming in there, right? Now, many of these people in former years and days would have been put in the general ward of the hospital. Or some, maybe many, sent home with prescriptions for drugs. But now they're being called presumptive cases of the coronavirus or suspected cases of the coronavirus, in many cases without any tests being run whatsoever. And once you put that designation on a person, you can't put them in the general ward because you believe as a doctor or a hospital administrator that this person is now contagious and could transmit the virus to other people. So you have to put him in the ICU ward.
So whether
and
validated,
there's not enough beds.
Right. Whether validated or not, the default now is if you've got a respiratory thing and you're coming into the hospital, we're putting you in isolation. Again, presumptive positive.
And there's not enough beds, so they wait.
Right.
And the video cameras shoot, and the press blows it up out of all proportions.
Well, and yes, it's confirmation bias on that front. And I look at the issue of people dying at 79.5 years of age on average that have pre-existing conditions, say 99%. I'm like, okay, do you even need a virus? Now, at the same time,
the answer is no, you don't need a virus whatsoever.
Or you could have multiple things, infections of any and all kinds. And, you know, I point out that in the history, let's say modern history, 20th century of infectious plagues or pandemics, you go back into the real history books, and these are peer-reviewed articles as well that talk about mortality rates under allopathic suppressive therapies, you know, using aspirin, anti-fever remedies. And, you know, sometimes they talk about 30, 40, 50% mortality rates. And at the same time period, those patients supposedly diagnosed with these fever diseases, whether it be influenza or other things, brought to homeopathic doctors, naturopathic doctors, have mortality rates below a single percentage point. And you have to ask the question, what role does modern medicine and suppressive medicine play in terms of its toxicity or just suppression of expression of disease, which is the response to correct whatever the body is trying to fight back on? You know, that might be a legitimate infection, John. Does that make sense?
Well, absolutely. I mean, as you pointed out many times, it's the terrain. It's not the germ. And those forms of practice, if they can actually improve the terrain, then, you know, you're strengthening the immune system.
Then what concern would we have for a novel new virus that even if sequenced, which there may be legitimacy to, hey, we've got an isolated sequence. Again, I still have questions having talked with Dr. James Lyons-Weiler about PCR as a valid test for determining an acute infectious agent. But for them, the mere presence of the genetic sequence amplified is evidence that it's the cause. And I don't make that leap. There's a chasm there still, in other words, I don't know if I struggle with. I just have questions that I'd like answered. Because I'm not necessarily, John, in the camp that says, well, there's absolutely no virus at all, right? I haven't come to that conclusion either. So,
neither have I. But what I'm saying is that it's unproven. Mm-hmm. In other words, and I understand that there are people out there who can very easily, for various reasons, misinterpret and twist what I'm trying to say.
Well, hold that thought, because this is a great part of the discussion that hasn't been had yet. John Rappaport on with me from No More Fake News, Robert Scott Bell Show, robertscottbell.com. Stay with us.
Check out a sweet offer that my friends at Better Way Health give. This is an immune-boosting supplement that you can't get anywhere else.
Beta-glucan activates and enhances your immune response to invaders.
These things are brilliant for modulating the immune system. someone has a need for help in supporting their immune system, I'm looking at the glucan product.
It's amazing, and there's been an enormous amount of research done on this.
It's the most studied immunomodulator on Earth, with over 14,000 published studies referencing beta-glucan, and it's currently being tested in roughly 100 clinical trials.
If you like your dietary supplements with validated science, there's nothing that has more behind it than the beta-1-3D glucan for Better Way Health.
Probably the most heavily researched substances that I'm aware of that modulates the immune system.
It rebuilds your immune system.
Consistency and quality are everything.
Here, you want to see my supplement drawer? Here it is. Get ready.
I was putting together my research and I tripped on this supplement called beta-glucan.
There it is. It's very small. I take beta-glucans, immune booster.
You don't have to worry that you're overstimulating the immune system. We have been just amazed.
I take like two a day from Better Way Health.
It's been tested against about 36 other immune boosting products and found to be superior.
If you have an immune system or you want one, beta-1-3D glucan, that transfer point is very unique. It's going to get the results that you're looking for. I support it and I use it.
Better Way Health, I gotta tell you, you can spend more time, you can spend more money, but you cannot get better service than you're gonna get from those guys down there. They are truly 24 karat.
The brand you wanna get is called Transfer Point Beta-1 3D Glucan, and you can get it from betterwayhealth.com.
Let's spread the message about beta-glucans. It's a powerful substance from nature that can help you.
The health world through the power of radio. It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Very often when I broadcast or when I write, and it's, I think it's true for John Rappaport as well, people are going to, just like we talk about confirmation bias, John, they bring their own viewpoints of the world with them. We all do. And I admit that. I acknowledge that. I have a bias toward holistic medicine. My paradigm as I look out to the world in terms of disease causation and manifestation is to look at the terrain first. And if there are viruses, bacteria, funguses present, I don't deny the reality of them or even their existence. But I say that in a healthy terrain, they're not of my concern, really. I want to strengthen the body rather than just focus on attack, kill, kill, kill. So it is a different way we look at things. But as you write, John, about what you've written about, asking these questions, pointing out logical fallacies or lack of validity to the claims that one virus is causing all of this, even if we can maybe agree that somebody has isolated, sequenced it, and it's real, right? Is it still just then we make the leap and say, okay, that's the cause of all of these problems when 99% of those in Italy that died of the so-called new novel coronavirus were already pre-existingly sick and immunocompromised? I think that's a legitimate point to raise, and to not raise it is illegitimate.
Sure. And I go even further than that and say the idea of discovering a new virus opens up a whole line of questioning. A whole line of questioning. For example, in the so-called PCR test, what do they start with? Do they have a biological specimen of the actual virus? How did they get it? Mm-hmm. Where is it? Who has it? And if they have it, what are they going to do with it? Not only that, but I go back to the more traditional method of so-called discovery of a new virus, which would be electron microscopy.
And just so you know, I didn't get to that discussion with Dr.
Yeah,
Jack.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, how do you, if you're going to do it at all, and even that method has questions that
sure.
are unanswered. And so for somebody to blithely come along and say, well, of course this method works. I mean, it's ridiculous. We've been using it for years to discover new viruses. Just because you've been using that method doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing the procedure that is going to really result in discovering a new virus.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I call it a dubious discovery of a new virus, because I want to see all of the steps described in ways that I can understand them that convince me that this was really done correctly. And I've laid out in an article what I would consider more significant evidence, highly significant, that something is going on here that can actually be measured. And I don't get any response to that from people who are supposedly the experts, whether they're aware of what I'm saying or not, who knows. But, you know, there are people, I'm sure, out there who would say, well, you see, if you don't warn people about the virus, which, of course, we all know exists and is highly dangerous, then you are saying something that could be dangerous. This is such an old, tired tactic that I've looked at before and have heard before, back to the days of HIV. This is, quote, dangerous information, right? And if we weren't on the radio, I would use several words here that would be very descriptive of this, because that is not the point. You see, saying that somebody is presenting dangerous information is already trying to minimize and put in a box and a compartment. Don't pay any attention to this, because harm could come to you if you listen to this person or read that person.
Well, I've heard some people, John, say about John Rappaport writing about this the way he is, not only is it dangerous information, it's like he's not encouraging people to prepare for this. And I'm thinking, I think you've always been about proper hygiene. You know, you're not one that advocates, if somebody is sick, going out and sneezing on people. But somehow that means, because you're asking these questions, that you're actually a danger. Like for those of us who ask questions about the validity of vaccination to prevent infections, for instance. Now, we can't engage in that. That's dangerous. You can't ask that. Well, you can't point out that there's no inert placebo control.
Yeah, because then the whole world is going to die, because not everybody is vaccinated against 6,000 diseases. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
So if you say that you don't agree with the vaccine science of the day, you're dangerous. Well, that's what they're saying about people who are either opposed to vaccines, bring up evidence that vaccines are dangerous. That's what they've been saying. Dangerous, dangerous. These people are highly dangerous, and they're responsible for all kinds of illness and dying in the world because people are listening to them.
John, as we go to break here, what may be more dangerous are allopathic suppressive therapies, even though I would defend anybody's freedom if that's what they want. But we'll talk about some other things like this. Fascinating discussion, as always. John Rappaport here on The Robert Scott Bell Show, robertscottbell.com.
You're listening to The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Today, we live in an omnipresent cloud of charged particles emitted by electronic devices, electromagnetic fields, WLAN, and radio waves. These particles penetrate our bodies and heat the water in our body tissues. Recent scientific studies have shown that this particle flux not only heats the cells in our bodies, as if we were in a microwave oven, but damages them as well. At Key Technologies, we want to protect you from the negative effects of such particles, so we have developed the Key Home Cell and other products. The Key Home Cell creates a protective field that works like a filter, intercepting any dangerous particles before they can enter your body. Here we have a partial look at the inner workings of the Key Home Cell. The Key Home Cell generates a charge exchange between the water tubes, thereby discharging free electrons and releasing them into the room. Within 24 hours, the Key Home Cell creates a torus field. The free electrons formed in the torus use their negative charge to bind to the positively charged harmful particles, thereby rendering them harmless to you. The torus field has an effective range of 16.4 feet above and below, and 24.6 feet around the device. The torus field created by the Key Home Cell is transmitted and provides you with protection through the walls of your home. Not only humans and animals are shielded from harmful radiation, but plants and food too. Whether mobile radio waves or WLAN, any particles that come within the torus field can no longer cause any harm to you or your family. The Key Home Cell provides you with all-around protection, allowing you to communicate with absolute peace of mind when using your cell phone or any other electronic devices. The Key Home Cell's free electrons are transmitted into the water through the torus field and repairing the water structure that was destroyed by radiation particles. Water regains its ideal vibrating hexagonal grid structure. The difference is easy to taste and can be proven with laboratory testing. This type of perfect hexagonal water structure is found in fresh spring and healing water and has also been seen in snowflakes. The same effect happens with our food, which also contains water. The Key Home Cell greatly reduces radiation exposure from cell phones, laptops, WLAN transmitters, mobile terminals, and other sources of radiation. The Key Home Cell drastically reduces the thermal stress on your body tissue. It is very fast and very easy. With the Key Home Cell, you will experience a new quality of well-being within your home and more life energy without any unhealthy exposure to radiation.
Bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Always great to discuss things that are undiscussable with John Rappaport and his perspective. This last week was great on, I think there was a title, If Jesus Threw Out the Money Changers, Why Can't Worshippers Throw Out the CDC? Oh, it was hilarious and very pointed. And a lot of people of faith said, you know what, that's really important because we don't want to give up on our ability to worship as we see fit. The foundation for America, in fact, was immigrants coming here because they wanted to worship as they felt was right, not the way the king told them they could or had to or had not. And a lot of what we cover, and John, you cover, is talking about medicine, even virology, more like a religion or a cult than a scientific endeavor. And I know there are good scientists out there that have agreement with us on corruption in science. And I think when people say, John, why do you have this automatic perspective that you don't trust what the government or government scientists are saying? Why are you always suspicious? I said, there's a long history of, let's say, corruption, usurpation, et cetera, that brought you to the place you are where your first thought is not, I immediately believe what they're saying, but demand for validation. And I'm going to be suspicious about these proclamations of new infections before I come out and go, oh, that's been validated. And then we'll acknowledge it.
Yeah. Or it's obvious that they've been telling lies, just straight out lies. Like, for example, the lie that we're a government agency called the CDC. We buy huge amounts of vaccine every year, so we have to do something with it. And at the same time, we are the ones who are conducting the highly objective and neutral studies on vaccine safety. So you can surely trust us. Yeah, I trust you like I trust a used car salesman. Because you're selling the vaccine idea, the substance, the injections, the whole kit and caboodle, and at the same time, you're objective about the studies? I don't think so. Why would I trust you? I would have to be a lunatic to trust you. So it it goes a lot further than that. And as far as preparedness goes, the preparedness has to do with the lockdown. I mean, if you're going to lock down the planet, my friend, then people are going to have to be prepared economically and in many ways to have enough supplies to survive.
Yes.
And they're out of a job and they're living paycheck to paycheck and suddenly they don't have a paycheck and businesses are being shut down and surveillance is being stepped up and I'm the dangerous one. I'm being so dangerous for questioning and doubting the science of this whole business when this is the result of it. And I'm not asking people to be prepared. I think somebody has a twisted idea of preparedness or such a giant ego that they believe that they must be believed. Well, I'm so right that I must be believed, and therefore anybody who disagrees with me must be dangerous.
Well, and I pointed out the fact that if you shut down the economy of the planet, much less the Western world or United States alone, you're going to end result a self-fulfilling prophecy of death and mayhem beyond what even a virus that you claim is causing all of these problems today would do. And that's a very real issue. The government's shutting down economic activity. Of course, you can also develop further a welfare state based on fiat money and destroy the economy even further. And some have argued that there's going to inevitably have to be a reset based on the inability of infinite printing of money and salvaging the economy anyway. And this might be related to cover-ups. I don't know definitively all of that. But if we come back to the concept of the law of the terrain, we don't deny the presence of microbes, what they call pathogens, but we look at the result of an unhealthy lifestyle, a diet depleted of minerals, vitamins, trace minerals, and the presence of toxic pollutants, like we go back to Wuhan originally. You can't deny that pollution diminished levels of selenium in these people on top of other exposure, and whether it's speculation or validation through peer-reviewed articles on 5G impacting lung tissue. I mean, these are things you cannot dismiss, even if you believe a virus is playing a causal role here. And I can't definitively say no, but we've got questions.
Okay, and people should think about this, because we've discussed this whole Wuhan issue before, but but try to picture this, folks, okay? You've got these virologists, giant dome heads in some lab over there in Wuhan that are fiddling around and saying, oh, we're in the process of discovering a virus that's never been seen before, that's causing pneumonia, and they look out the window and they can't see the next building next door, okay, because the haze is so thick. And they know that last summer there were protests out on the streets of Wuhan, which is not an easy thing to mount in China, one of the most brutal dictatorships in the world, having to do with air quality. And these virologists, if they have any sense whatsoever, also happen to know that roughly 300,000 people every year in China die from pneumonia. And that's long before the emergence of the new virus. And therefore, if 300,000 die every year in China, how many actually have pneumonia and survive, which would be a much more giant figure? But they're saying, nevertheless, that pneumonia, or something very much like it, is the key sign of the new disease that they've just discovered. And they conveniently ignore what's out the window, and you're calling these people scientists. I don't call them scientists. I call them morons, and and I call them vicious morons, because they're supposed to be the ones who would know, gee, maybe there's a connection between these people coming in here with some odd pneumonias and the quality of the air in the city in which we live and cough and have lung problems all the time. You would think that a scientist would be able to make that observation. I don't see it in the written papers all about the virus. Instead, what I see is what I would obviously call a cover story to cover up what is actually happening there, which you can see out the window. But maybe that's dangerous to say that. If that's dangerous to say that, then guess what, my friend? I'm dangerous.
Well, look, if you're a virologist, it's likening to be a hammer. Everything looks like a nail. If you're a virologist, your focal point has been narrowed down into look at viral causation, viral presence, etc. And even if you might acknowledge aspects of what we talk about, Bechamp and the law of the terrain, you still have an inherent bias toward looking at viral causation and ignoring all of these. Even if you acknowledge it, at the same time you go, yeah, but, right? That's where it goes. And I don't think that, I don't perceive this, John, that we're going about the virus. Yeah, but the environment. I mean, it could be that there's evidence at some point in time that, you know, these things have happened. I haven't gone back and looked at the whole, remember the Native American smallpox blanket thing, right? The settlers, that story.
Yeah.
I haven't actually revisited that to go, hey, are there other mitigating circumstances, or was it simply because they had never encountered what they call smallpox and therefore were vulnerable? I mean, I think there are legitimate questions historically. We can go back and you know, the basis for new or emerging things. I can't dispute it out of hand. At the same time, I also look at the terrain, the environment, the immune system, and I will never dispute or discount that. And I think they are discounting that as the viable means by which you could prevent, support those that are vulnerable and help them overcome it, whether it is or isn't.
Let me go back in history a little bit here as well, because this business with the air pollution, which is really unprecedented in the history of humans, the mix of toxic elements floating above Wuhan and other Chinese cities, this is not the first time, okay, that an environmental disaster in progress has been ignored by the virus hunters at the CDC and the World Health Organization. And we've discussed some of these things. I'm not going to go into detail. We don't have the time. But if you look at SARS, if you look at swine flu 2009, if you look at even Ebola, as I've detailed in articles, there were things happening in those environments that were so obvious that a junior high school student who didn't know the first thing about science would be able to make the connection between people getting sick and dying and what was happening in those environments in terms of toxic elements and pollution and lead and acid and industrial rivers of poison and so on and so forth. And so this is not the first time that all of a sudden, no, it's not any of that, of course not. It's a virus, and it's a new virus. We just happened to discover it. Really, is that right? And it just happens to be an accident that it's a fantastic cover story that exonerates and protects giant corporations committing capital crimes and governments backing them up. Really? Is that what you're saying? The people who are saying that I'm somehow dangerous? Because what? I'm pointing out about corporations committing giant crimes and killing people every day in this world, and that's dangerous? No. I would say that covering that up could be dangerous.
You should be embraced by all those people who love the environment, claim to be environmentalists. Because, John, you're talking about the things we talk about from a holistic perspective, that when you poison something, there are not necessarily good things that occur to that something that's poisoned. Let's just say, and here's the secondary now from this point forward, John, and this is a pattern we've seen emerge. Let's go back to the era of the HIV claims of causation of AIDS. What did it result in? A subgroup, subpopulation that were really vulnerable, largely the homosexual community, who had abused their bodies beyond history because they also had the antibiotic drugs. They had amyl nitrate poppers, street drugs, immunosuppressant drugs, on and on. And they demanded in response to that self-inflicted wound that may have been an emotional issue, self-hatred, loathing, not being able to come out, being accepted by society. There's a lot of factors here that I will acknowledge. They demanded that the government allow experimental medications to be used on. Okay, I'm for freedom. But what they were given was a failed chemo drug that was so toxic it killed cancer patients, that known as AZT or AZT, that came out and just slaughtered hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people at that time in the early 90s. And now we might be revisiting that because I think you pointed out to me before we went to air that under this emergency, they're saying no liability for these drug companies on whatever they come up with. Another vaccine, another drug, this risks another, I think, secondary disaster compounding whatever is happening now.
Sure, let's talk about preparedness in that sense of the word. Is it being prepared to take these antiviral drugs that are toxic because somebody says you tested positive for the coronavirus? And by the way, let me be very clear on this. If you look at the numbers of cases purported in the world now of the so-called coronavirus, you will find that the overwhelming percentage of these cases have been diagnosed without a test for the virus. That is a fact, folks.
We're still in presumption and assumption level with assessing and stating numbers. And it is a problem. I agree. And I don't know that I've got a fully satisfactory answer, but we will continue to discuss the undiscussable here on the Robert Scott Bell Show with John Rappaport of NoMoreFakeNews.com. Links are up in the show notes at robertscottbell.com. We'll be right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
You can't protect your kids from everything. That includes germs, like a virus or a bacteria.
No, no. Don't touch.
Hi, Mrs. Jones. Can Tommy come out to play?
No.
No matter how hard you try, you just can't be there every minute of the day.
Look what I found.
Where did you get that?
I found it in the street.
There's a better way. Help your child build a strong immune system with Beta Kids. No, it's not a vitamin. Vitamins build strong bones and tissues, but do little for the immune system. One delicious Beta Kids gummy daily wakes up the immune system, alerting your child's defenses to perform more, better, and faster. Studies have shown kids who take Beta Kids miss fewer school days due to illness. Beta Kids is made with beta-glucan, an all-natural ingredient. It's safe, healthy, and proven. You can't protect your kids from everything, but you can help them protect themselves with Beta Kids.
You know, he's really kind of,
disgusting?
Yeah.
Good thing we give him Beta Kids.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
For those of you who are anxious with all of this discussion, because it's like, oh, it's this, it's that. We're not trying to bring confusion. We're trying to bring intellectual integrity, critical thinking skills to all of these things. And I can have an interview with a PhD who has a perspective in one way, and I can have an interview with my buddy John Rappaport, and we can, you know, digest it all. But again, I always encourage you to go deep in, to contemplate a prayerful meditation, whatever. Connect to source, the frequency of love, God, whatever. But also CBD. I'll just say that. And our friends at PlusCBDOil.com, they have a discount code RSB30, 30% off. Take advantage of that, too. I don't want people in anxiousness. I want them calm and relaxed. But if we step back, John, and look at the big picture. I mean, that's what every once in a while you got to step back and see that. How does it all fit together? And I think that's where I want people to go with you in our concluding segment here.
Yeah. So I just wanted to pick up from where we left off at the end of the last segment and talk a little bit about HIV, but this time in Africa. So in 1985, as I detail in my book, AIDS Inc., a researcher named Sir Wada in Africa decided that he had discovered something new called Slim disease. And he wrote a study about it, which I cite in my book. And its cardinal feature is wasting away. And I kept looking at this, and I kept looking at this. I couldn't believe it. This was now really accepted conventional wisdom in the Orthodox medical community, that people in Africa who had been dying for who knows how long as a result of protein calorie malnutrition, hunger, starvation, chronic diarrhea, dehydration, are actually losing weight. And we're going to call this a new disease called SLIM, which eventually it becomes exchanged for AIDS. And we're going to say that this is caused by a virus, really? And then we're also going to revisit the idea of stolen farmland from these people by major corporations making deal with local dictators and giant agri-corporate farms where the food that's grown, most of it is exported out of the country. And we're going to talk about major corporations moving in and polluting the air, sea, and land. We're not going to talk about any of this as the cause of immune suppression. I found at least one study, if not more, because AIDS was said to be a syndrome in which T cells, cells of the immune system, are radically depleted. Studies that said, well, the most widespread cause of T cell depletion in the world happens to be malnutrition. Really? I see. And we're going to ignore all that, though, right, in Africa. We're going to say, irrelevant. It's a virus. That's what's causing the whole problem. The world says, oh, didn't realize that. Now we know. Really? Is that really dangerous information? So the big picture here is that when you ask more basic questions, how are you deciding what the case numbers of the coronavirus are? What's the method for doing that? Are you testing people? I mean, I would assume so. How many people did actually test before all these numbers are arriving? And what was the test? And what kind of test is it? And what does it actually discover? And what doesn't it discover? And is that important to know? Which, mm-hmm. of course, it is.
Well, and it's still problematic.
And how did they discover this supposedly new virus? What did they actually do, step by step by step? not generalities. Oh, we found the three patients and several of them and discovered it. No. Let's lay it all out. Lay it all out. Let's look at it and see if that really works or not. The big questions become the more basic questions. And the more basic questions you ask, I would maintain the less fear you have, the more you are pursuing the truth, as opposed to reacting to the fear porn that is being spread around by both the press and the conventional medical communities.
And especially as that, that fear fomented in ignorance leads to itself immunosuppression, and that vulnerability can manifest as any number of things that they can point to one virus, whether they have validated it or not. These are the kind of questions that I'm willing to ask and engage in, as I have for now my 21st year broadcast. And John Rappaport's been at it as an investigative journalist even longer. And we'll continue to revisit this. And, John, I appreciate you hitting it head on with me, my friend.
Thank you, Robert. I'm glad to once again sit down and have a great conversation.
All right. A lot more healing to go. We got a lot more broadcasting to do. Go to robertscottbell.com, where the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.